Hi, Patrick here. And in the pod today, a word or two from New Orleans. Here's Big Show host Marco Werman.
You might have heard me mention that I recently spent some time in New Orleans as a guest of public radio station WWNO. One of the things that struck me about New Orleans is the language of the place. It's a reflection of the diversity and wild history of the city. Like the advice, let the good times roll, or laissez les bon temps rouler. A unique word-for-word English to Cajun-French construction that shouldn't work, but does. It's also interesting how the words that describe New Orleans' two best-known cultural contributions to America and the world, music and food, those express multiple layers of meaning in this city. Think jazz. Think gumbo. And whenever new people come to New Orleans, the words and the music and the food evolve. When you're in New Orleans' 7th Ward with the neighborhood crowd at Bullet Sports Bar, listening to trumpeter Kermit Ruffins, it's easy to forget that all this comes out of a few hundred years of history.
You know, it's like, there's no place quite like this place, so this must be the place. There is no place in the United States quite like this place, Southern Louisiana.
That's Jessica B. Harris, New Orleans resident and food historian.
This is a place that has been French, then Spanish, then French, then American. That's a lot of stuff going on.
Not to mention the Native Americans who mixed with African slaves and set down the local Creole flavor. Not to mention the entire Caribbean, which New Orleans was the center of long before Miami assumed the mantle in the 20th century. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on.
It is, in fact, that place where things mix. People often have referred to the culture of New Orleans as a gumbo.
Now, you may know gumbo as a stew of various meats and some veg served over rice. It's classic New Orleans. And yet the word gumbo refers to what used to be a key ingredient in the stew.
If you go anywhere in the French-speaking world today and want okra, you simply ask for gumbo. The word gumbo comes from the Bantu languages, Uchingombo and Gingombo, which mean okra. So I think okra is, you know, sort of intensely connected with this place.
And not just because New Orleanians like their okra. Gumbo reflects the diversity of the city.
It's a case where these parts make this extraordinary whole without totally melting. You know, if you have a good gumbo, you can still see the okra. You still know that that was andouille. You're still aware of the fact that that was duck or chicken or what have you. It's not just a brown stew. It's something else.
We all do things in a different way, but when we come together and we put all that ideas together, it's really enriching.
Enriching, just like gumbo. You can't get away from that metaphor in New Orleans. That was Father Anthony Anala, or Father Tony. He's a priest from Ghana in West Africa and has been in New Orleans since 2008, leading the congregation at Our Lady Star of the Sea. I wanted to meet him because, having spent some time in Togo next to Ghana, I wanted to hear a West African talk about how they saw the connection between New Orleans and their part of the world. Now, when Father Tony got to New Orleans 5 years ago, imagine his surprise. He leaves the home of okra to arrive in the home of gumbo. Not only that, this past April, this Ghanaian priest got about as deep into New Orleans musical culture as you can get, presiding over this funeral of a Mardi Gras Indian, a black Seminole named Cyril Big Six Chief Iron Horse Green.
There was that mood of celebrating the achievements he has had. And so it was more uplifting, upbeat.
The whole idea of a funeral being a moment of celebration, that's something you find with funerals in northern Ghana and Togo. It's a party time.
Exactly. You know, all the families will come for one funeral, then they all go for another funeral, and like you can celebrate funerals for like a month.
And of course, wouldn't you know it, the day I met Father Tony, he had had a Ghanaian specialty for lunch, stewed goat. Although he says New Orleans food suits him just fine, too.
There's a bit of spiciness in the food and, you know, the gumbo and all that tastes like back home.
People going to be eating gumbo.
Jessica B. Harris again.
Now, all of a sudden, you may discover that there's some other things going into that gumbo, but then that takes it not only from the culinary into the social metaphor, because there are other things going into the gumbo that is the city as well.
And sometimes those other things become the standard. That's what happened with this Vietnamese bakery, Dong Phuong. Vietnam was hobbling back from war when the Tran family left and came to New Orleans in 1980. Vietnam and New Orleans, in fact, share French influence. Madame Huang Tran's family in Vietnam were bakers. They brought their trade here, and to accommodate local tastes, they came up with a sandwich roll that worked for both their banh mi Vietnamese sandwiches and American subs.
You knew the French took over Vietnam 100 years.
The French, right. They were the colonizers of it, right.
Okay.
Right.
So we take some recipe from French, some American, and also from my parents, too. Three recipe in one.
So now you get kind of that crunchy baguette outside. You get the soft American.
Soft inside.
Yeah,
inside.
It's brilliant. It's so brilliant, in fact, that the Dong Phuong Bakery is now the number one source in all of New Orleans for the bread for the city's famed po' boy, that sub stuffed with fried oysters or shrimp. Hey, it's what Alan Toussaint looks forward to after he gets back from a long tour.
Shrimp po' boy, dressed. You have to say dressed.
Pianist and songwriter Alan Toussaint's got his own thoughts on New Orleans food.
We all villains in a feeding frenzy. We do that a lot here. But everywhere I go, I'm always glad to get home. But when I leave New Orleans, I never go anywhere else looking for any part of New Orleans. I collect scraps and wishbones and feathers everywhere I go, and then I come home and try and produce a chicken. And it works. And the more extensive travel is, the more I have in my reservoir.
I wonder if you could take us out with one of your songs that it talks about food and maybe is actually a little mirror on New Orleans.
A Yankee saw a crawfish, call it a baby lobster. We laughed so hard we nearly busted outside. But when he tasted the difference, he started raving so much, he got a southern welcome, arms open wide. Imagine boudin cooking, imagine cracklings crackling, almost enough cayenne to water your eyes. But in the midst of all this fine southern cuisine, I'll take the crawfish every day, every time. Laissez, laissez, bon temps roulé. Laissez, laissez, bon temps roulé. Laissez, laissez, bon temps roulé. I could eat crawfish every day. I could eat crawfish every day. That is the first verse of one of them.
The great Alan Toussaint, who, by the way, was awarded the National Medal of the Arts last week by President Obama, concluding my visit to New Orleans. You can see all the people I met in that fine city. We've got a sweet little slideshow at theworld.org. And thanks to Julia Kamari-Drapkin and Kathleen Flynn for their help in producing this story.